This week on Albuquerque Real Estate Talk, episode 484, end of March 2024, we have to talk about the National Association of Realtors settlement agreement regarding commissions and all that stuff. Been tons of news on that, so we'll get into that. But really what buyers and sellers need to know, Tracy, as well as a lot more and in a good way, talk about housing affordability and solutions there. Now, Tracy, you have a story about some new construction coming to Albuquerque, some single family homes, but there's a twist on that. So we're going to get into that. And just a couple other things. Of course, we'll probably go down the rabbit hole and get off on some other stuff too, Tracy. Plenty of stuff in the real estate world this week in Albuquerque.
Absolutely. So where do you want to start?
Start how people can get a hold of us.
Sure. So we're Venturi Realty Group of Real Broker. And the best way is our phone, 505-448-8888. That's an easy one. We should have a jingle, 448-8888. Or, you know, welcomehomeabq.com online. You can check out our website and reach us through that as well.
I want to start with housing affordability.
Okay.
Not affordable housing. That's a different conversation. I'm talking about housing affordability. Housing affordability is the issue of our time, I think. Now, I'm a little biased because I'm a housing wonk. I believe in housing. Everybody needs a place to live, and we have a housing problem. There's been a gazillion studies, you know, analyzing how many homes were short in the United States, in Albuquerque, in New Mexico, everywhere, right? And the challenge is, right now, to build a new single family home, it's almost impossible now to build anything that could be sold as new for $300,000 and under.
In Albuquerque area, in our metro area.
Honestly, in the country, I've heard that everywhere. I mean, I'm sure there's some places maybe, but it's a real challenge.
You're being very serious, Tigo, but all I heard was wonk. I don't know that word, wonk, and a gazillion stories.
A gazillion,
I'm like,
you know.
You stopped me at wonk.
Wonk as in, like, I follow this stuff and I'm very passionate about it. And I really get in the weeds on trying to figure out how to, you know, bring these solutions forward that are going to help the affordability challenge.
Right. So this week there was a lot of news, right, about what an income needs to be in our market to be able to buy an average median priced home.
Well, median price is now around 350 in Albuquerque.
Yeah. And so what that equates to as far as an income for a household is now over $100,000 to be able to afford that house.
Yeah.
And it seems like pre-pandemic, that was significantly less what the rate I saw somebody's stat. I think it was in the 50,000s or 59,000 or something was the income needed to buy the average price home, average median.
Yeah.
And now it's over 100. So yes, it's changed a lot because of interest rates, because of home prices. Everything combined together made it significantly different for affordability.
Well, let's just go back to pre-pandemic. Home prices in Albuquerque have gone up about 50% since, let's say, 2019, right? End of 2019. Not double, but, you know, half of double.
Right.
Is that right? No, that's not quite right. Anyway, 50%. So home prices have gone up. On top of that, we went from, again, pre-pandemic, we were kind of in the 4.5% range on mortgages. And then when the pandemic hit, you know, we had that unbelievably low mortgage rates there where people were getting under 3%.
Especially if they did like a 15-year, which many people did.
Right.
Because the monthly payment was still so affordable on a 15-year at a 2.875 or whatever.
Right. And then what happened is, you know, we had this price appreciation and then we had mortgage rates go up to over 8% at one point. Now they're hovering right around 7% right now, plus or minus, you know, in that range, which is better than 8. However, it's really put a strain on people's affordability. And we're talking about purchase, but there's also rent.
Right.
You know, every type of housing is more expensive. Every type of housing is a much larger portion of everybody's budget than it used to be. And of course, everything else is a lot more expensive too. So there's definitely been some strains.
So that brings up two topics.
Well, I've got one, but you go ahead.
Well, one of them is the multiple listing service, the Realtors Association, that has a website to help with people find real rentals that are available, that are authenticated, that it's really the person renting it using this site. So you're not going to get scammed by somebody pretending to be the owner or the rental manager.
Yeah. So So let's talk about that. Last year, we at the Southwest MLS, we added a product that basically aggregates all the different rental properties for the most part in the whole Metro Albuquerque area. You can visit that website at nmhomerentals.com. And so it combines property managers and rental properties they have. It combines even individual private owners that want to post their properties for rent, and any rentals that are in the multiple listing service, which isn't a lot, but it takes it all in one place so that a consumer can go there, again, nmhomerentals.com, and see a really good cross-section of everything that's available.
Right. And so there might be apartments in there as well as single family homes, townhomes and things. What's great about it, Tego, some of our listeners might have rental properties and they don't know this resource is out there. They can go through the process to be legitimized as the owner of a property, and they can use this site to put their property for rent.
Yeah. And a lot of people may not realize this, but the rental scams on places like Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, you know, these free listing services, the scams are just out of control. And it's really sad. You know, we've had situations where we've talked to people that thought they were putting the deposit down on a property and putting the first month rent down on a property. They sent it off, you know, they wired it off to somebody, and that money was gone, never to seen again, probably somebody overseas, right?
Well, and it's gotten worse than that. We've had people literally meet people with keys to properties, like in person, who aren't the real property managers or owners. Anyway, so that's one thing, right?
Yeah, I know we're having a conversation about affordability.
Right.
But it's also part of that is just accessibility to properties that are available. And
housing.
It was a problem
for the
rental side in Albuquerque. Yeah,
totally. So that's great. I really appreciate that the Realtors Association put that out there, because you know it costs them money to have that. So we appreciate that they're doing that.
Okay. Can I just say, I was very involved in making this happen and I'm very proud of it. And I've heard some people poo-pooing and I'm like, you know, there's always going to be your people that are detractors, but I'm sorry. This is for the community, because it was broken. It was so bad if you're trying to find a rental property.
So hard. We'd get calls all the time from people moving to Albuquerque or the metro area. They don't know the area and they need help finding a rental. And we are like, I'm so sorry. There isn't one place that I can direct you. There just wasn't. And now there is one place that we can direct people.
Yeah, and you say, well, you can go to Craigslist. Good luck. Watch out for the scams. Be really careful. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is great. It's great if you own some property and you want to use it for your rental site, because that's part of what it's good for. You don't have to be a real estate professional to list your property there.
Remember how at the top of the show I said, we'll probably go down some rabbit holes?
That was one.
That was one, but it was really good. I mean, it's good information. I think the community needs to know more about this resource. Again, so, nmhomerentals.com.
Speaking of rabbits, you know, it's Easter weekend, so it's very appropriate that you would say rabbit hole just this show. Anyway, so Tego, the other part of where we were going on affordability, units, properties coming online, right?
Well, I want to hit on, let me take this another direction just a little bit. I posted something about a week ago on my Facebook. Again, it's Tego Venturi. If you want to follow me, I pretty much just post a lot of housing stuff, housing stats, housing news.
You don't post pictures of your family and your vacation and your dogs and your food.
I know. I just don't. Anyway, the thing with affordability, there's been this kind of story kind of out there that all the Wall Street big investors are buying all the single family homes, and that's why we have an affordability problem.
Right.
And I just couldn't take it anymore. And so I put together a long post that breaks down how many homes in the country and in New Mexico are owned by investors, like institutional right. investors versus the mom and pop investors. And the short of it is most rental properties are owned by the mom and pop investor, basically, you know, 10 or less properties. And a lot of them are people where this is their like retirement fund, right? You know, maybe it was their home they had and they moved, they kept it. Now it is their nest egg.
Right.
Right. And so the problem I've had with it is the scapegoating of blaming, you know, the evil Wall Street people for the housing affordability problems when it is, yeah, maybe it's an issue, but it is minuscule compared to the other things that can be done. And what's happened just this week, for some reason, and maybe it's just my bubble because I follow all these housing econ people, everybody's freely saying it's like, look, blaming the Airbnb, blaming the Wall Street investor, you know, buying all the houses. Okay, that's great. But that's easy for politicians to do, is to, you know, blame some evil corporation that's doing all this bad stuff, when the real problem is zoning, planning, permitting,
infrastructure,
ridiculous regulations on building. I saw a story again. This is just anecdotal, but you know, this person, he's trying to build these townhomes, and he's like just about done, and he's trying to get his CO, his certificate of occupancy, and the city will not let him do it until he puts in the sidewalk in the front, required. And for whatever reason, he couldn't do it in a timely manner. And they would not let him move forward until that was absolutely done. It cost him an extra $100,000, and it cost him an extra 3 months. So this is the type of thing that's broken housing. And the scapegoating, you know, these evil companies is not solving the problem. And it looks like people are finally starting to break away from that narrative and call it out what it is this is a local problem. It's not a national problem. It's really hard for the national to do it. It has to be done at the local level. Okay, I'm done. Off okay. my soapbox.
Great. So let's change gears. So let's talk about...
I love it when you do this to me.
Let's talk about...
I have this big, profound statement, and you just go, oh, okay, great. Let's go to something else. Sorry.
That was really awesome, Tego.
Thank you.
Great job. Okay.
Oh, so, and I got to say one more thing. If you believe that 44% of homes got purchased by Wall Street investors in 2023... you have been lied to, and I'm sorry you fell for it. That's all I got to say.
Okay. We're going to talk about the newest trend that we've talked about before, Tego, and we've put information out about it, mm-hmm. and it seems to be happening more now, and that is build to rent. So there is a community in the North Valley.
Speaking of affordability,
these are homes being built to be rental properties. So Jay Remby has one. It's called Griego's Farm. It's in the North Valley off Griego's, basically, between 12th and Rio Grande. And it's well underway. It's a beautiful master planned community with homes for rent. And it's a 10-acre plot, right? And, you know, it's going up. They're building there. It's a 10-acre area. They're 1 and 2 bedroom homes, 850 to 1,070 square feet, 90 freestanding homes on the 10 acres. But there's, you know, front porches, internal courtyards. There's all sorts of areas for community gardening. There's a pickleball court. I know that's really important these days. No,
hey, that is a thing these days.
That is. So they also have some offices where you can rent, you know, space there. So you can have kind of a work live, even though you might only have an 850 square foot house, there are some spaces for the community to use. So those ones are well under construction. Last time I was overlooking it, I think there was some streets going in and you know, things going up. So that's one of them. But we know that one was just announced this week in Rio Rancho. And last week on our show, we talked about Rio Rancho being one of the places in the whole country where there were very few multifamily units, right?
Right. It's the highest percentage of single family homes to multifamily homes, one of the highest in the entire country.
Right, right up there. So Unser Gateway area, west side by Rust Hospital, they have the Eleanor that was just, they did the little groundbreaking with the whole row of men with shovels.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't one woman with a shovel there.
Oh, what's up
but,
with that?
Anyway, 126 homes in the Cabazon area. They're going to be 650 to 1,500 square feet. And these are homes being built to rent, single family homes, right? And they said 30 units will be ready in 12 to 15 months. This is a partnership with Westway Homes. JLM Living has purchased the land about 2 years ago, and they're finally getting to the point where they can say they did a groundbreaking to start construction. And, you know, Westway Homes is one of our great local builders. They've been building in that Diamante area, Rust Hospital, very southern end of Rio Rancho by Unser and Westside Boulevard, just west of the hospital. They've been doing some building there as well as other areas of town. So really excited to see how they've partnered with Westway Homes to build this build to rent community. Right?
Yeah. And when we say build to rent in this context, it's obviously build to rent apartments has been around forever, but this concept of building single family homes to rent is been huge actually for the last 5 years in other parts of the country.
Right.
You know, Phoenix, Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, you know, some of those big cities. And now it's here in Albuquerque. Ooh. And other than that, there's the 344 units that are going to go in. Oh, did I steal your thunder?
You did. Sorry. But that's okay.
Go ahead.
This was my story.
Oh man.
So we
that's my deal.
We talked a long time ago, Tego, on the radio show and podcast, that this was happening around the country and that it was destined to come here. And yes, there is the Bedrock at the Trails that's also built to rent. It's a little bit different. They're going to have 199 townhomes and 145 single family homes. And it's a big parcel, 37 acres. The Trails, for those of you who don't know, it's by Volcano Vista High School, the whole cluster where they've got by Ventana Ranch, West Albuquerque, out at the end of Paseo del Norte, kind of between Montaño and Paseo del Norte out on the west side at the Trails. So those ones are under construction as well.
Yeah, that's all coming. I just, again, getting back to this housing affordability thing. I read all this stuff and listen to all this stuff. I heard an interesting analysis, and there's a lot of people that are vilifying these build-to-rent investors. Again, the whole Wall Street, you know, they're evil. They're taking away all the homes. Why don't they build them for people that can buy? Well, it's really a supply and demand thing. There's demand for rental houses that are single-family homes for rent. There's a shortage of those. Part of that, and this was the take that I heard, and I thought it was interesting, is you go back to 2000 and I guess it was 2009 when they passed the Dodd-Frank Act. So if you're not familiar with Dodd-Frank was the thing that came out of Congress that was after the Great Recession, right? And you know, all the crappy financing that happened pre-housing recession 2004 and 5, where they just loosened up the standards beyond belief, and people were buying homes really that had no business buying a home.
Right.
However, this person's take was it swung the other way too far with Dodd-Frank. It tightened up the lending standards so tight that now there's people that are maybe they'd like to buy, but they're kind of on the margin, you know, debt to income wise, they're kind of on the margin, maybe credit wise. Well, there's no products available for those people anymore, and they might be good homeowners. The problem is they can't get loans. And so now this person kind of hypothesis is, this is why we see this proliferation of build-to-rent neighborhoods, because there isn't a product available for somebody that wants a single family home that, again, maybe they're on the margin, you know, credit wise, they can't buy.
Right.
And I thought that was an interesting idea. I mean, you can agree or disagree, but that's not the point. I just thought it was an interesting take on what's going on in the housing economy. All right, Tracy.
All right, Tigo.
We've done some like heavy news today, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to say, we need to talk about, you know, some of the fun things going on in our community, right? We've got some really awesome new home communities all over the city. I was thinking about the new development by Hoffman Town Church in Northeast Albuquerque, where they're selling homes there. So if you're looking at new construction in the far Northeast, there are several options besides that Pulte community. There's Stillbrook and there's some others. So give us a call. We'd be happy to help you with that new home purchase. You know, a lot of times people don't think of using a realtor to represent them when there's a new home builder involved. And honestly, we kind of know the ins and outs of it, and it doesn't cost you any more to have representation. So give us a ring if you're interested in that, and we'd be happy to help you find the different opportunities of homes and home builders that might work for you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, Tracy. I know it's been some kind of heavy news. We've been talking a lot about affordability and the challenges. We must talk about the National Association of Realtors settlement agreement that has to do with some lawsuits that have been floating around for about 4 years. And you know, Tracy, I've been following them like, you know, since the beginning.
But we need to be clear. This is a proposal.
This is proposed.
Proposed settlement.
Yep.
And that in New Mexico, our purchase or our listing paperwork, I want to be really clear that in New Mexico, the agreement that we fill out when we go to list a home is very clear on how the commission is shared with Correct. A different realtor, which is different. A lot of states didn't have that. They didn't show how that, whatever the broker is charging, might be being shared with the other realtor.
Let's break down the way it is now. And then we can also kind of go into how this is going to look in the future for buyers and sellers. Right now, a seller agrees to sell a property, hires a real estate agent to a realtor to assist them with that. They agree on what that realtor, the listing agent, is going to get paid. In that agreement, the listing agent also says, I'm going to share part of what I'm charging with the realtor that brings the buyer to this house.
Right.
Right. So it's an incentive for just like any other, you know, sales, you're incentivizing somebody to bring you a buyer on this, in this case, a property. But again, it's in any sales context. That's basically the way it is now. The issue that really created the lawsuit was if you're hearing this noise in the background, Tracy has her dog in our studio here, and he's having
the spring fever.
He's having an allergy attack. If you can hear that, sorry. Okay, let me get back on track. So. Yeah, we got to keep this light because this is kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, but the dog's keeping it light.
Yeah. So, so that's the way it is. The let me get back to where I was going with this is the issue that created the lawsuits, the issues that created the settlement, without getting in going down that list of how it all came about, because it doesn't matter at this point, is that the listing agent would say, okay, I'm guaranteeing to the whoever the buyer agent, it brings a buyer, I'm guaranteeing that I'm going to pay them X amount, right? And I want to be clear, there's no set amount. Oh, we got to talk about this. Can you believe how much poor reporting there has been and how so many people have no idea how organized real estate works, but yet they're writing national stories about it? Some of the stuff I've seen is just absurd. And, you know, stuff like the 6% requirement from the National Association of Realtors now going away. There's never been a requirement.
Right.
I mean, do a lot of people charge similar fees? Sure, because that's what works in the business model.
Do a lot of attorneys charge similar fees?
Right.
Do a lot of other professionals charge similar fees?
Right.
Yes, but there is no set fee structure in real estate.
No, and there's a bunch of different business models that don't charge as much. And, you know, I could...
Or charge more.
You could list them all off. Anyway, sorry, just want to make that clear. And then one thing I've seen people say is like, you know, we all say, well, commission fees are negotiable. And then people will say, well, my broker wouldn't negotiate it. It's like, yes.
That's the negotiation.
That's what they charge. Could you go to another broker and do that? It's just like buying a car at one place versus the other. It's like, okay, that's what they charge. Okay, if you don't like that, go somewhere else, right? And that's the negotiable part of it. Anyway. All right. So back to what I was saying. Okay, where this is going. With the big change is going to be, instead of that guaranteed compensation to the buyer broker from the listing broker, that goes away. Now the buyer will basically have a direct agreement with the buyer broker, and they will agree on what the buyer broker is going to get paid. Okay, so it I've used this term and people said it's not correct. It's kind of decoupled the seller paying, or the seller basically portion of the proceeds helping pay for the buyer broker, where now the buyer broker and the buyer get to agree on what they get paid. There's so much more to it than that, but that's the simple answer. And can sellers still incentivize a buyer broker bringing a buyer to their house? Absolutely. Can they still pay for the buyer broker? Again, that's one of the other things that's out there. Can the seller still pay for buyer broker's fee, or, you know, professional fee? Absolutely. It just can't be guaranteed through the MLS system, and it must be negotiable, basically. But it can't be promoted in the MLS is the real big change. Okay, that was in the weeds, huh?
Yeah.
But that's the short of it.
Yeah.
And in right now, back to what you originally said, it's all proposed, nothing for sure yet. There's going to be a lot of changes. There's going to be a lot of new paperwork and how we do things. There's going to be extra steps, especially on the buyer side. Buyers are going to have to get into agreement with a broker before they even go and see a home, which is very different than what we do now. But we're still a few months away on this, at least, maybe, you know, till July is what
we're
thinking.
That means we get to keep talking about it for several more months.
Of course.
Can't we just talk about the llama I saw when I was out showing a house instead? You know, there are some really cool houses on the market right now, Tigo, just to change it up a little bit.
No, that's great. I know we've been pretty heavy this week, but it's just because that's what the real estate news has served up.
I saw one mid-mod house that was so cool, Tigo. It made me want to like have a mid-mod house, even though I love our house.
Mid-century modern.
You know
what part of town?
It was in the UNM kind of Altura area.
Yeah, of course.
And it had, you know, the little triangle type windows with the pitched roof line, sort of, where you could just tell from the outside that it was a mid-mod. Anyway, it's pretty cool, but that's part of the fun stuff we get to do. You know, I was showing a house was last weekend, Sunday? I don't remember. Anyway, it was in outside Laguna in Cañoncito, 5 acres, and it was a beautiful day and there was no wind. I can't remember. I think it was last Friday afternoon, actually. It was like a blue ribbon day. And I was out there and I did not have time to stop for a Laguna burger, which really bummed me out.
That's right. Yeah.
It's like I'm going right by and I'm all by myself thinking I can do this. And then I ran out of time because we spent a lot of time looking at that property. But anyway, that's the best part about what we do, is helping people with their dreams, their home purchases, their home sales, and making great representation happen. So we appreciate you. There are a lot of open houses this weekend on Saturday, Sunday, not so much because it's Easter, But if you want to reach out to us, 448-8888 is the best way.
We didn't even talk about Albuquerque housing market stats this week.
I know.
And that's fine. I'll do a deep dive here next week because we'll have the March data and get into that. I will just tell you that, you know, year over year price appreciation is still, you know, chugging along. We're not, you know, the home prices are still going up. We still have very low number of homes on the market, and that really hasn't changed. So
we have quite a few coming on the market in our inventory personally. So if you're looking for something specific, give us a ring and maybe we know about it.
Yeah, we do see. Okay, now we got to do the little markets. Normally, it's very normal this time of year, starting now, you know, into April, a surge in the number of people listing their homes. It's just, this is that time of year. So if you're a buyer, it's time to really start watching and thinking about it. If you're a seller, you got to get ready now because you want to be hitting the market right now too, as well. So that's it. Tracy, again, we're the Venturi Group Real Broker here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can reach us at 505-448-8888. Take care.